Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. We got new stuff coming and Dono Daily every single day. It's every single weekday, roughly 2 or 3 o'clock whenever Alex gets around to it. But that's on all South Florida sports, including the Heat, FiveReasonsSports.com, the latest from Brady Hawk, Louis D. Sung, and others on there. We do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You got to be signed up at Prize Picks. We still don't have enough people for this, and I don't understand it. We're giving away free T-shirts. Here's all you got to do, okay? Go to Prize Picks. You want to try it out. It's legal in Florida. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. This is our official fantasy sponsor, 5, F-I-V-E. You get your initial deposit matched up to $100. They got all the NFL props on there. So we know baseball is going into the All-Star break. You can do that stuff too. If you're not even, you're a casual baseball fan, you want to do the home run derby or anything like that, you can do, you can do that at Prize Picks. You can download it from the App Store. That's the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, or prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, get your initial deposit matched up to $100. And if you DM to Five Reasons Sports Twitter a screenshot of your sign up, you're entered in a contest for a Five Reasons Sports T-shirt, anyone of your choice, including Bam VP, Jim VP, the Bucket Bros. I don't know how much longer that one's going to apply, but any of the other ones that we've got on the website. So make sure you check that out. Prize Picks, use the code 5. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor as I choke. Today's floor plan, I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Yesterday, we did an episode completely devoted to Kevin Durant. Why? Because, as I said, this is a Pat Riley crusade. Everybody's reporting it at this point. We've been saying it. This is what this summer is about. I mean, Pat Riley is not in for the guppies, okay, or the whales. I mean, what do you say, an orca, he said before. This is that kind of summer for Pat Riley. It's 77 years old with a 32-year-old Jimmy Butler. They are going all in, and they're okay if they end up missing out on a player or two to build this thing out, if it gives them more of an opportunity. I've been told, and I was told again today, that they will exhaust everything with Kevin Durant until their chances are 0%. And that's where they're at. But there's another player that we want to talk about. And we have talked about him some here on the pod, but today there was a little bit more news. Woj, who also reported, by the way, that the Heat have been the most aggressive team on Durant. I do want to caution people on that because I tend to try to give you some inside baseball here in terms of sourcing. I don't know everybody's sources, but I got an idea. Woj has better sources in Brooklyn than he has in Miami. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. So I just think when you listen to that, to what he discusses when it comes to Durant, not that it's not, there's not some truth to it. Obviously, not that he's not a great reporter, but it's more likely that you're getting the Brooklyn perspective then you're getting the Miami perspective. Keep that in mind as Brooklyn tries to create a market for this player. We know that this is access journalism. That's what Woj and Shams do. Favors are traded based on relationships. And I'm just cautioning everybody. But he had another report today about Donovan Mitchell. And this one was also predictable. We've been saying eventually two things would happen here. One is the Utah Jazz would realize, with Danny Ainge now running the show, especially after trading Rudy Gobert, that trying to build around Donovan Mitchell at this stage, when you're just accumulating future first round picks for Gobert and you've gotten rid of Ingles and you may get rid of Conley and you might get rid of Bogdanovich, that you're resetting and that you really don't need to keep Donovan Mitchell if you can trade him, if his value is still high. That apparently has occurred, at least according to Woj's report, that now Utah is starting to take calls. We knew that was happening. They were taking calls all along. It's just a matter of what they might actually accept. The second part of it, though, is Donovan Mitchell putting pressure on the Utah Jazz to get out. And that's what I'm waiting for. because that's the leverage play here that puts everything into play for the Miami Heat, not just the possibility of getting Donovan Mitchell, but also the possibility of putting more pressure on the Brooklyn Nets to make a trade with the Heat before they get Donovan Mitchell, because again, that will limit the number of possible trade partners for Brooklyn and thus limit the amount of compensation that they might get if they ultimately do trade Durant. Greg, is that kind of how you see this as well? I feel like these two situations, now that we know these are the two players that the Heat are after, that they're intertwined. And in some ways, both guys being available is helpful.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You're so right about that last point, that having them both out there, it justifies. And I think you can start to understand why they didn't, make a quick move for a stopgap option at the four yet, and that kind of thing. And, you know, I've been a little like, it's bothered me some that they haven't replaced PJ Tucker, to be honest. But now when you start to see that this stuff, it becomes real because Woj tweets it, right? Finally, I think the most interesting part of it coming out in the broader media today is like, who does it help, right? Like who is it that getting Donovan Mitchell's name out there starts to help? And I thought Andy Larson, who's a longtime beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune, I don't know that he's there anymore. I think he still is there. He mentioned that it's either a Donovan deal's getting close and Woj had to change tune to reflect reality, the Jazz front office wants to create a bidding war, or Donovan's team is using CAA to create reason to ask out. That's from his tweet at 6:28 p.m. on 7/12. I think that is really where we're at. Like, I think that you're seeing that you're having teams negotiate in the media, but here's the thing, Miami doesn't do that negotiate in the media stuff. So I think it's like, the more you see this stuff leaking, to me, what it tells me is that the teams that have these players are not getting these crazy offers that everyone's talking about, because if they did, the deals would be done. So I think it's really actually positive. The more that this drags out and the more that you hear this kind of info flow out on a national scale.
Yeah. And we've talked a little bit yesterday about why Durant's not getting those kind of offers, or at least they're not getting those kind of offers for Durant. And one reason is, as great as he is, he's 34, coming off a number of injuries. You're looking at four more years, which is 38 years old. Donovan Mitchell's a little bit of a different situation here, Alex, in terms of age, obviously. In terms of, he has really no injury history of significance going forward. But he's not Durant as a player. We know that. There's some work to be done on the defensive end with him to kind of get back. It was funny. I was listening to Sedano call a Knicks summer league game yesterday. He was talking about Grimes, one of their players, getting seven steals. Yeah, Sedano covering a Knicks. I can tell you George didn't enjoy the experience.
George.
I know. Knicks fans were flaming him, by the way, because they know his history. So it was just funny watching that on Twitter and texting with him during. But they were talking about Grimes having seven steals and how, like, Donovan Mitchell had eight steals as a rookie, when he was at Summer League. And I'm thinking, where did that guy go? Because he's not that kind of defender anymore, although maybe he could get back to it. But Alex, why do you think, I guess let's put this, how robust do you think the market would be for Mitchell? Now that people know kind of Utah sort of has to move him, I guess, or there's a possible malcontent situation, rebuilding. I mean, they might not even be a play-in team with their current roster without Gobert, especially if they're going to move Conley and Bogdanović and they didn't bring back Ingles.
Yeah, definitely. I think the situation with the Jazz is just like, everything is uncertain, right? If you're a Jazz fan. We already talked about it. I mean, you guys mentioned it specifically, all the guys that they didn't retain or let go of or traded, et cetera. And right now for Mitchell, everything just kind of, if you're looking at it from his perspective, everything is like, you know, who's going to be there with me if I were to stay here, right? If I'm going to be here when the season starts. And so because of that, I think even though the Heat are prioritizing Durant right now, I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, that doesn't work out, they circle immediately back to the Donovan Mitchell situation and maybe up their offer from the one that was reportedly turned down already in the past. And I think, like, if they can find a way, you know, to add more picks into, and when we've talked about this plenty of times in the past, like they had that stuff going on with the Thunder where if you can unprotect the pick and maybe they can have access to more picks and able to do that. I think like that's the type of stuff that they would have to work out in order to land either one of these guys. Right. And so the Mitchell thing, I just don't know what his market is as far as how many teams will be immediately interested in trading for him. Right. Even though he's super young, young all-star who is already locked in on a contract. I'm not 100% sure other than the Heat and the Knicks who have been the, you know, the teams that have always been mentioned. So outside of those two, I think that what about a scenario where Mitchell ends up on the Nets, but it's KD to the Heat, right? Like that's like a crazy off the top of my head one. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't come up with that many teams off the top of my head who are immediately interested in Mitchell. For sure, there's going to be more just because of the talent that he is. But as far as like teams that he would want to go to, like, I'm sure that he would be at the top of the list. I just think in general, they're probably focused on the Durant thing right now. So it just, you know, it feels secondary.
Well, they can do two things.
Even though he's 10 years younger.
But right. Well, they could do two things at once. We've seen that. They could do more than two things at once.
For sure.
I will say this with Mitchell, you know, when Tony Jones, who is as connected with Jazz as anybody, he's covered that team for a long time. I know Tony well. He's a very good reporter. And his first reaction to the Mitchell news on Twitter was to say that the Knicks could make a compelling offer. And we know the ties there. Donovan's father still works for the Mets organization, I think. But he's, you know, he has pretty strong New York roots. There is always that attraction to be the guy to fix it in New York. Okay. I think they have not got a ton of premium free agents. But when Stoudemire went there, and it kind of worked for Amare for a year before he got hurt again, when Carmelo went there, there is this feeling that, okay, I'm going to be the guy who changes the dynamic in New York. And instead, they end up overpaying a guy like Julius Randle. I do think that would be appealing to Donovan Mitchell. My question on that, but then we're going to, after the break, Greg's going to get into the Heat's offer, and we'll get into more specifics on it. My question on that, though, is who is he going to play with there? I mean, if RJ Barrett is part of the package, he's the most promising player there. I mean, I if Randle is included, whatever, and again, that's a huge contract, whatever, you know, Randle's regression was this year, he was critical for them a couple of years ago. And you're talking about a starting backcourt potentially of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson, whose contract, you know, they basically gave him $100 million over 4 years, a little more than that. But you're talking about two guys who are 6'1", 6'2", or smaller. In a backcourt in a league where, you know, a lot of, I mean, at least one of the guards they're going to be facing every night is 6'5" or above. And neither of those guys, again, because Mitchell's regression and Brunson's limitations on that end are great defensively. So I just wonder if you're Mitchell, if you're looking at it, you're like, okay, I want to play in New York. The Brooklyn situation is a disaster. Potentially, and especially if KD goes out and Kyrie goes out, and then who you're playing with there, TJ Warren. And then you look at the Knicks situation. You're like, okay, it's interesting if Barrett's there maybe, and Randle and Brunson. But if you're removing one or two of those from the equation, like, I think it's some interesting young pieces, but that's about it. So anyway, after the break, Greg's going to get into more of kind of specifics of the Heat's position on this. Before we do, I want to tell you about a couple sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We mentioned premium CBD all the time. It's called Therapist Preferred. Go to therapistpreferred.com. Use that code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get 25% off the tincture, the sports cream, the gummies, all that good stuff there for recovery, for sleep. It's therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN. And our new betting partner, we keep mentioning this one, it's called Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com/5Reasons. Make sure you use that because you get $20 to play. This is legal in 45 states, including Florida. And the best thing about it is you can find your own line. The best thing about it is you get your money because it's not offshore, but you can find your own line there. So you don't have to just do whatever the sports book says. You can find a line that fits with you because, again, it's peer-to-peer betting. You're not betting against the book. You're betting against others there on that site. So go to betteredge.com/5reasons and also therapistpreferred.com. Make sure you're using code 5. It's the number 5. RSN. All right, Greg, let's get into specifics. You reported a while ago the Heat had made an offer. Others have since confirmed that they've made an offer. What in your view is the offer?
So the initial offer I heard, and I think really anyone with a fancy calculator can get to this to some degree, frankly, but it was pretty easy to get to, and it was centered around Tyler Hero. I think that the Heat and the NBA value the Heat's players as functional rostering, like win now type players, much more than maybe the fan base does. I was told when I initially came out with the fact that it was Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Yurtseven, and picks, I was told, hang on with the picks situation. And I was just reminded that it's early and it's not prudent for Miami to like put their best offer out there. I think they're being very calculated with the way that they are negotiating and parallel processing both of these situations. From what I was told, they haven't put Bam on the table for KD, and they're not emptying out all the draft picks yet for Donovan Mitchell with that initial offer. I think a lot of that can be posturing. We know what this will probably look like when we get to the end, but initially that's kind of what I'm told. And I do think that there's something, well, one, Danny Ainge loves Tyler Hero. Remember, he moaned when he didn't get him in the draft. I'm never going to forget that quote. And we're going to always talk about it on this show. But two, I also think,
was it a moan or a groan?
No, they said moan in the article, if I remember correctly.
Just wanted to be clear. If it was groan, that's fine.
Anybody come and find me on Twitter and keep me accountable. there's Alex keeping me accountable. But no, back to where I was going. Utah, I think Tyler Hero, a player like him, not for the obvious joke reasons, but because they don't tank very often, and also because he's a player that they can slot right into Donovan Mitchell's position and kind of keep going. I think that they would be up for that kind of deal a lot more than maybe fans think, that they would just want a ton of draft picks. They got a lot of draft picks now.
So yeah, I'm definitely interested in what Leif is talking about there, just because I think we've all been speculating about what a potential trade package for Donovan Mitchell would look like. And I think one centered around Tyler always made sense. He was always going to be the guy for all the reasons Leif went over there. And I just think it's interesting that Kyle isn't in the initial deal, right? Not that it's surprising. I think we all know they would probably like to keep Kyle. I don't think they're done with that whole project. Obviously, he's great friends with Jimmy. But and the whole thing specifically with, you know, not that many first round picks being involved. I don't know how many were in that offer. So I think that's interesting. That just obviously shows potential for much better offers to be thrown there in the future, right? Like if they circle back to the Mitchell thing. So that definitely leaves me feeling, you know, optimistic if you're a Heat fan, because it's like, that's, you know, it feels like you've got options, right? It doesn't all just have to hinge on Durant. And I don't know. I just feel like that there's more things that they could potentially throw in there. And so that's kind of my main takeaway from all of this.
Well, first thing, you never make your best offer first. I mean, unless you're absolutely pressed to make it. When you're in, you know, when we're in the housing market that we're in about 6 months ago, you make your best offer first, right? Because they're, you know, 10 offers and you're going 30,000 over asking price. But in this particular case, I don't think they have to make their best offer first. I don't think there's enough. I mean, even when we're talking, we're saying, well, maybe the two New York teams in Miami, like I don't even know what the rest of the list would look like. So I don't think you necessarily, and teams can come out of nowhere. I don't think anybody anticipated Minnesota was going to give 4 first round picks to Utah either. Right. So, and Danny Ainge has done this kind of thing before. I mean, he broke down a Boston team before, we know it. He got rid of Pierce and Garnett, got all those picks coincidentally from the Nets, if you remember. And so he is adept. What do you think of Danny Ainge and the jokes about, well, he's always in on the guy, but never gets the guy. The teardown he's done before, we know that. Okay. And then there is the other issue about kind of dealing with the Heat or dealing with Pat, which is interesting, and whether he should the hell up and manage his own team. But I just think when you look at it, to me, the biggest takeaway from this is if you can somehow get Donovan Mitchell without having to trade all these picks, without having to trade all your extra players for picks, then you can use those picks potentially to go get the starting four that you need. Because, you know, the report that Barry had that came out today that said that it was something we anticipated. And look, Brady has been talking about this for months, that, you know, Caleb Martin essentially could be a PJ Tucker replacement. I don't think they view And Caleb said that, you know, on NBA TV, but I don't think Caleb even views it as being a starter at first. And I don't think the Heat view it that way. They still got to go get a starting four. Okay. So if they're able to hold some picks back, then you could move. Could you move a, you know, is potentially, could you get a Harrison Barnes? Could you get a Marcus Morris? Could you get another player to plug that hole at the four spot? That's what's appealing to me beyond just getting Donovan Mitchell. As far as Hero goes and Mitchell, look, I don't think any of us are looking for the Heat to try to trade Tyler Hero. I think all of us value Tyler Hero. I just think, again, this is a timeline issue. Okay. And to me, it's this, all right. Donovan can be a good defender now, I think, if he commits himself to it. I don't know that Tyler can get there in the next couple of years. And the other thing about it is that when you look at the playoffs and Tyler's injury contributed, there's no question. The groin injury, you know, that he gave him no chance to come back, basically, and prove himself. But he wasn't good before that. We have discussed it ad nauseum. He was their worst plus minus player, and it was not close. And it was with every lineup he played with prior to the injury. He was just not the same guy when they started throwing other coverages. Will he get there? I believe his basketball IQ, his work ethic is high enough that he will. Will he get there on Jimmy's timeline? And we've seen Donovan Mitchell, they've thrown every possible coverage at him. And yes, he's been inefficient at times, but he's also been dynamic at times.
Yeah.
And this is, it's the kind of move. I mean, it is in a lot of ways, Greg, it is the Lamar Odom, you know, and Caron Butler for Shaq. It is the Glenn Rice for Zoe. It's the Josh Richardson for Jimmy, which we were hemming and hawing about at one point. It's
that was funny,
you know what I'm saying?
It?
It's you trade the good player to get the great player. And I just think that's, again, it's that kind of summer for them. And is Durant the prize, but we also know, and I've mentioned this before, Greg, sometimes Pat pushes for the prize knowing that he can go down a level and still get a guy he really wants. And I always bring up the Lamar Odom, Elton Brand thing. Elton, I really think he wanted Odom. Honestly, I always will. If I could get Pat alone again, I would ask, who's the guy you really, I think he wanted Lamar. I think Lamar's talent level, versatility, all of that stuff. I know Elton was more of a traditional player and all that, but they made the offer sheet for Elton first. Didn't know if Sterling would match or not. Brand hoped they wouldn't. Sterling match, boom, offer sheet, Odom, get Odom. Odom has a tremendous year in Miami, ends up being the lead in the package for Shaq. This feels a little like that to me, that you're going after KD. And we said, they're all in, no question, but they can do two things at once. And it does feel like this may end up with a situation where they don't get KD, but then Utah is left with fewer options. And ultimately they bend at a deal that is maybe Hero Robinson in one pick and Yurt. And that's it.
I hope you're right. But truthfully, even if it ends up being all of the draft capital that Miami can presently offer with those players, for the Heat to be able to add Donovan Mitchell and not sacrifice Bam or Jimmy, like, I feel like the KD situation, like, there's going to be at least more of a drawn out process related to beefing up those offers, right? So I think that there's something to that if they can find a way to get Mitchell in that circumstance. And then the other part of this that I think is just something that we shouldn't forget is that if Mitchell says that he wants to go to Miami, Utah's going to look for the best deal. But there's a part of this where, like, you're seeing that the leverage is kind of sending guys in certain directions and certain teams aren't even really getting involved, et cetera. So I just think that that's just something that we need to continue to watch for, is that they just may not have a robust market for either guy. And I think that this is the last thing, and I'll close here and stop talking. When you talked about the four and bringing in another player, they may do it all in one transaction. It may end up that the front court piece and Donovan Mitchell, for instance, all come in the same package and they do it all in one big deal. So that's just something to watch for also.
Alex, does any of the, we're going to close here. So I do want to mention our sponsors again. Prize Picks, use the code 5FIVE, therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN, get you 25% off, and betteredge.com/5reasons for $20 to play. Are there any of the other Utah pieces that are interesting to you?
Definitely.
Like Bogdanovich, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah, he's definitely interesting. He's not the exact type of, you know, archetype for the four that you wanted to, you know, replace PJ with, right? You wanted a two-way four, but Bojan is such a prolific three-point shooter and somebody who could get you a bucket, and obviously not a great defender or anything, but can play the four. I just think you he's not the defensive guy you want there, but with the type of guys you would theoretically have on this team, I just think the offensive influx of a potential Mitchell and Bogdanović combo is just incredible. And really, that's the type of offensive output that you need in order to offset the defense that you lost, right? And I think those two guys really propel you there, where it's like that he can go from a middling sort of offense to one that is most likely in the top 10, possibly higher, right? And definitely has a lot more flexibility and I think explosiveness in the playoffs. If you're just talking about them, maybe you can, I don't know. Like, I think Bogdanović is not the exact type of four that I would have looked for, but I would absolutely be okay with him as like the second fiddle in that offer. Like, he's a really talented player. He could, you know, come in and start for you, average 15, 16 points a game, and just be a more useful version of what Duncan Robinson has been for them.
He's been a very good postseason player too. He's not one of their guys that shrinks.
He can shoot off the dribble a little bit. Yeah. You know?
No, I like, I'll throw one more at you. What is Mike Conley's contract now? Because they've always loved him. We know that. I don't think he's the
well,
same
that
guy.
Would, if we're going down that road, we're talking Kyle Lowry in terms of making money work.
Right.
But to your point,
Through 2024. I just looked it up right now.
Bam, you're faster than I.
Is it still the crazy number though? He had that crazy number for a while.
That 24 mil on the last season, 22, almost 23 mil next season. So he's got 2 seasons left.
You saved how much from Kyle then? You save.
Oh, that's a big difference. Oh, yeah,
for sure. And I mean, since we're going in this direction, why don't they just trade for KD and Donovan Mitchell?
We're ending there.
Yeah, why not?
Or Jimmy and Bam on the team? All right, we'll do more of this stuff. Thanks again to our sponsors. I was going to do something tonight, but I'm not. I'm in a good mood. Greg, Alex, appreciate it. Did Brady leave us? I hope not. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.